At Wildwood Community Church, we are for following Jesus together to the glory of God. We're for the church, for the community, for the nations, and for the next generation. To contact us or for more information, see our website at wildwoodchurch.org.
Well, friends, this morning is a baptism Sunday, and we love baptism Sundays here at Wildwood. They are reasons for great celebration, not because salvation is created in the water of this baptismal tank, but because salvation is celebrated in the waters of this baptismal tank. Everyone who is being baptized today has placed their personal faith and trust in Christ, and their hope is in Him for their eternity. And we get to gather around them and see this symbol play out and join with the angels in heaven in celebrating God's goodness and faithfulness among us. Now, as we prepare for this today, I was thinking about not only what scripture we would look at, but also how we might get to that scripture today. And being here in the city of Norman, I just thought of a phrase, there's only one. Now, when I say that, there's only one, how do you want to respond? There's only one? Oklahoma. That's how we want to respond to that phrase. And if you're like me, you think, wow, that phrase, there's only one Oklahoma, has been a part of the fabric of the University of Oklahoma, especially the football program, forever. But the reality is, it hasn't been around forever. It's only been around for the last 21 years. Now, that's a long time, but it's not forever. But for 21 years, at the beginning of a home football game, the crowd is brought to a frenzy as the phrase, there's only one Oklahoma, is shared. Now, why do I go and say that, and why would I say that in connection to baptism? Well, there's a unity that for 21 years has been celebrated in that phrase around the University of Oklahoma. But for the last 2,000 years, there's a unity that is declared by the church every time someone is baptized. Because in their baptism, we're reminded that the same Savior who saved those who are professing faith in Christ today is also the same Savior that has saved many of us in this room, and also the same Savior that is offering salvation to those who would trust in Him, maybe even this morning for the first time. There is a unity that is expressed when we say, not just that there's only one Oklahoma, but even more so, people all over the world can say, there is only one Jesus Christ. And our hope and our life and our light are found in Him. And so this morning, we're going to remember that great truth, and we're going to look at this as we look at a few verses in the middle of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. If you got a Bible, take it and turn to Ephesians 4. We're going to look at these few verses in our time today before we hear the stories and see the water baptisms of those being baptized here in this service. The Apostle Paul writes, and he says this. He says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now, in these three verses, we're going to learn something about how there's only one. But let's be honest. When we read those verses, we don't just see there's only one. We see there's only seven ones. There are seven things that are held in common by followers of Christ that are mentioned and celebrated by Paul in these three verses. And so I want us to look at those seven ones that we have in common as believers today. Now, as we prepare for that, it's helpful for us to learn something about the context of the entire book of Ephesians. We're parachuting in here to chapter 4, verses 4 to 6, but there are many verses that precede it that it's helpful for us to know what they say. So in those verses, we see what is celebrated is what comes from placing our faith and trust in Christ. When we trust in Jesus, there is much to be celebrated. So what is it? Paul has summarized it in the first several verses. In chapter 1, in verse 3, he says that if we are in Christ, we have gone from bankrupt to blessed. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Why do we celebrate those who have placed their faith in Christ? If we are believers in Jesus, why do we celebrate? Because in him we are not bankrupt, but we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Not because we earned it, but because God has graciously given it to those who are in Christ. So we have gone from bankrupt to blessed. But as we continue through this book, we also see that if we are in Christ, we have gone from death to resurrection, spiritual death to spiritual resurrection. In chapter 2, verse 5, Paul says, "Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." See, our condition before God, because the fact that we have all sinned and fallen short of his glorious standard, is that we are separated from him. We are spiritually dead. But when we place our faith and trust in Christ, his death takes the place of our death, and his resurrection becomes our eternal reality. We have the opportunity to live forever in eternal life, and that life is lived in relationship with God. So why do we celebrate around the tank of baptism? Not only because we're thanking God for his provision of spiritual resurrection for those who have believed, but also if we also have believed, it encourages our heart. And if we're here today and we have never considered the claims of Christ, know that on the other side of Jesus is not just a religion. It is blessing. It is resurrection. It's life itself. But more things are said in these verses. Not only in the first three chapters does he talk about being blessed and resurrected, but he also talks about being forgiven. Forgiven. Again, we are sinners, but our sin can be forgiven. Salvation can be brought to us. He says in verses 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Salvation is not something, our forgiveness is not something that we prove to God so that when we are good enough, then he extends forgiveness to us. No, forgiveness comes when we place our faith in Christ and we confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. So why do we celebrate here? We celebrate not because these are perfect people, but because it is a perfect Savior who has graciously forgiven them of their sin. And it reminds us of what God has done in our lives. And if you're here today and you're considering the claims of Christ and you've brought your sin in with you, know that you can leave it at the foot of the cross and forgiveness can be declared to you because of what Jesus has done for you. So there's much to celebrate, blessing and resurrection and forgiveness. But also, that we move from being outsiders to insiders. From being outsiders to insiders. Verse 19 of chapter 2. "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." Dear friends, when we think about what happens in Christ, if we long for a place of belonging, something that we can be a part of, connected to God, connected to others, not isolated. Friends, in Christ comes that connection, not only with God, but also with each other as we are brought close into community. Why do we celebrate here? Because God is building a community that we are a part of. If you long for community and you don't know Christ, know that there is a community on the other side of faith in him. Blessing and resurrection and forgiveness and community. But also, enlightenment. He says in chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, he talks about how we move from being ignorant of God's plans, that things are just mysterious, to being enlightened to what God is doing in the world. Verses 8 and 9 of chapter 3, "To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things." Friends, if you long to know what God is doing in the world, He is working through Christ, drawing men and women to himself. Friends, why do we celebrate around the waters of baptism? Because God has done something worth celebrating. We gather around to celebrate for the blessing and for the resurrection and for the forgiveness and for the community and for the enlightened information that come in faith in Christ. Again, this is something that we are celebrating around those who are being baptized. It's something we're reminded of for those of us who believe in Jesus. And it's something that is offered to those who have not yet placed their faith and trust in Christ. This is what is waiting if you do. So friends, in light of what God has done, in light of these things worth celebrating, what does Paul then call us to? Well, he calls us to unity. If these things have happened in the lives of all who have placed their faith and trust in Christ, then there's a response that should be lived out among God's people. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. In other words, there is a way that we could respond to this that would be unworthy of what Christ has done, and there's a way that we can respond that is worthy of what Christ has done. He says that the worthy way to respond is to respond with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The worthy way to respond is not to tear down, but to build up the body of Christ. The worthy way to respond is to live and preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace by living with the fruits of the Spirit, humility and patience and love. The call is for us to respond in unity, and we have a great reminder here of why we are unified. We're unified not in our personality, we're unified because of what God has done. And at the center of what God has done, there are these seven ones. The seven things that we read earlier in verses 4 through 6 that are the core of our unity together in Christ. So what are these seven things that are mentioned here? Well, the first thing that is mentioned here is that there is one body. There's one body. Now, what does it mean to say that there is one body? What is Paul getting at? He's saying that if we are in Christ, there is such a thing as a universal church. Not that everyone is a part of it, but that everyone who is in Christ is a part of a universal church. Whether we gather in this room or in that room, we are united together in one body in Christ. Why would we celebrate? Why would we exhibit unity among brothers and sisters in Christ? Because whether we meet in this room or in that, we're all a part of the same church. Second thing, not only are we a part of one body, but also we are a part of one Spirit. What does that mean? Well, it means that the same Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead was given to the church. And from the moment of our belief, that same Spirit has come to reside in the hearts and lives of all who have trusted in Christ. Why would we have unity? Because we have the same Spirit inside of our souls. That's a Spirit that would unify and not divide. And so we remember the one Spirit that we share that moves us forward. Now, what else do we see? Not only do we have one body and one Spirit, but we also have one hope. One hope. What does that mean? Well, it means that one day we will be in the presence of God forever. With our eyes, we will see. With our bodies, we will be present in His presence. Now, that doesn't mean that we can hide from Him today, but it means that there will be a change in experience where with our eyes and with our ears, we will see and celebrate God in His presence. That's where we're headed. And all who are in Christ, all who are a part of that body and who share that Spirit, we will be present together that day. So if we're going to be together forever, we might as well practice getting along now. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord. What does this mean? Well, Lord is referring to who? Jesus. This is a parade, friends. We're all following Him. All who are true followers and believers in Jesus are following him, not just as an idea, but as our Lord. He calls the shots. He sets the direction. Our lives are oriented following him. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith. What is being referred to here? Well, throughout Ephesians so far, we have seen that faith is our response to the gospel message. What this is saying is that we're a part of the body of Christ. We have received the Spirit. We have the same hope. We follow the same Lord, not because our performance has dictated and mandated that God would allow us, but because of his grace that we have received by faith. We're all a part of this body because of the fact that we have placed our faith and trust in Christ. And if we have not placed our faith and trust in Christ, then we are observing, but we are not participating. But the believers in Jesus, we have exhibited the same faith. We've also shared in the same baptism. We've shared in the same baptism. You know, Paul would say when he writes to the Corinthians that it's not about who baptizes you. Right? He makes a big deal about that at the beginning of the letter because they were wanting to divide into factions over who was their favorite pastor, who was their favorite preacher. And really, it's not about that, is what Paul says. There is one baptism for the Christian, and that baptism is in the name of Jesus Christ. Those who have turned to follow him are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's only one baptism. As we watch those being baptized today, we might be reminded of the time when we were baptized and we can celebrate what God has done in our lives as we have gone through a similar experience. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all. Why do we have a unity? Because we are part of the same family. The family of God, the household of God, we get to participate in if we have placed our faith and our trust in Christ. So in the middle of the book of Ephesians, there is this call to unity. And when we consider all of this and the comments that he makes that we are to respond and walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we've been called, it's really a call for us to live out our lives in Christ as a unified people. That we are to live the life that God has planned out for us. That's how we can be on the same page, is by following Jesus' direction for life. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. How do we live this out? We walk the same path. We follow the same Savior. We live a life that echoes. But not only are we called to live this life, but also we're called to build up and not to tear down. A little beyond these verses, in verses 15 and 16, Paul would say, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We share a core of beliefs and we come together in order to encourage and to spur one another on that we might grow in our relationship in Christ. So the baptismal tank is not the end. It is a celebration of the beginning of a life that will be following Christ and will be pouring itself out to build into and build up others in Jesus' name. See, friends, this is on the other side of these seven ones. So what might we draw in terms of some conclusions from this on this baptism Sunday? Well, a few things that I would like to offer. The first of all, I would say for those here who are being baptized, I would say welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. Now, you became a part of this family when you placed your faith and trust in Christ. But we are celebrating your inclusion in that family today. What a joy it is for us to do that. And what an opportunity for those who are professing their faith in Christ today. It's not to live their life as some solitary ember, but it is to be a part of a raging fire that is the church, that might be a source of light and life and warmth to you and to others in the days ahead. Second thing I would say is to Christians, those of us who are here today, as we celebrate those who are part of the family, we are reminded that we are a part of that family as well. May we live as a part of this family, offering our lives to encourage and to spur one another on as we follow Christ together, and making it a priority to be together with God's people, to worship Him and to study His Word and to serve one another and those around us. And the third thing I would say is for those who are curious. If you're here today and you're curious, you're not yet placed your faith and trust in Christ, know this. There may only be one Jesus, and there is. There's one Jesus, but there is always room for one more in His family. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came to the broken, and He invites them to be a part of His body. And so as we're here today, if you are hearing this message and you're thinking, wow, I'm not forgiven. I'm still in my sin. I feel spiritually dead. I need that life. I feel alone. I want to be a part of this community. I feel confused. I need enlightened truth from the Scripture. If that describes you today, know that you can place your faith and trust in Christ. And if you do so, then you're a part of the family of God. And we share those ones.